to have it at 5, so you'd have to go and come back, but just kind of get it over at one time. So if you could stand with me now, I'd like us to turn to Revelation, two scriptures, Revelation 5:10, and then Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. So starting with Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. And it says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." On earth. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 14, "For sin," and this is my main scripture today, "shall not have dominion over you." Let's repeat that. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. "For ye are not under law, but under grace." If you could bow your hearts with me right now. Father, we just thank you for bringing us thus far. Lord, I pray you give me utterance that your word will go forth as you command it in Jesus' name. Turn to someone and say, "I love you." Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody comfortable, relaxed? Just don't go to sleep. Amen. Amen. The title of this message is Child of the King. Child of the King. And I had a lot of titles for this because this could go so many ways. I had so many titles for this, but I ended up with Child of the King. And I want to talk about three things. What you were, who he was, and what you can become. So what you were, who he was, and what you can become. And those three things is what I want to get your mind to focus on today. What you were. Because as I was saying in Sunday school, we are so far from what God originally created. So far from what God wants us yet to become. You know, this week, I don't remember what day, Thursday? I was on my way to work, and I think my wife called me and said, Chris Collins said she's coming, she's in labor. And I said, okay, I'll get to work. And before I even got to work, she came, she was here. So about, I waited till it was decent, and then I snuck out of work. and I went over to see my seventh grandchild. Amen. Don't clap for me. I did nothing. I did nothing. When Sister Jessica comes back, you can clap for her. I did nothing. I just went and said, oh, wow, you know. And I got to hold my seventh grandchild about, must be 3 hours after she was born. And little babies are so precious, especially when they're newborn. You can almost hold them in one hand, the light ones. She was so precious and helpless and innocent and beautiful, just as God had created her to be. You know, God has been doing that millions of times. Millions of times since the very first man was created in perfection. At the dawn of creation, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have," and there's that word again, "dominion, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." You know what that means? Everything. Everything. That man that was first created, our forefather, had dominion over everything. And I don't understand, or we don't really understand what that means. I've tried to teach it a few times. And it says, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. The only creature, the only creation, so styled, that was created in his image. The devil was not created in his image. In the image of God created he him. Do you understand what you were? You were created to be the child of a king. You were born to be the child of a king, created not just as for any king, but the King of Kings. Created he them, male and female. Hallelujah. See, man was created to be perfect. When I looked at the little baby, she was perfect for a baby. Yes, there's a lot of things she couldn't do. All she could do probably is cry and eat at that stage. But she was perfect for being 3 hours old. The very image of God is what Adam was. That is what we were created to be. When I said I'm going to talk about what you were, that's what you were created to be as perfect as that little baby was when she was born. Perfect like the image of God. That's what God wanted. That was his intent. Adam's soul was formed in the image of God, made in God's likeness, given dominion over every single thing that creeps on the earth. And we still don't really grasp that fully. The writer of Hebrews in the chapter 2 and verse 6 starts to give us a little bit of an insight into what dominion meant. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 6, quoting from Psalms 8, he says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. I want you to lift your foot, and I want you to stamp it right now. God said, I had put all things under your feet. All things were under your feet. All things were in subjection to you. That's what you were created to be. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. I'm going to leave the last few phrases for a little bit later. He said, I put nothing that was not under his feet. I wonder if you understand what it was you were created to be, what you were created to achieve, who you were really meant to be in God's eyes. We were designed to be a son of a king, a daughter of royalty, a perfect being in God's image. I want you to start meditating upon that. You know, you look at your life right now, you may think, well, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows my name. I'm never going to be famous. I'm not a celebrity. My name will never be in lights. But you were designed, you were created to be a son of a king, the daughter of royalty. Created to be in perfection with dominion and rule and have everything under your feet. That sounds pretty good to me. Amen. Let me give you some things that Adam could do that we probably don't understand. He could command the storm. You know why I know he could do that? Jesus commanded the storm. He said, peace, be still. He rebuked it. And you know what? The waves and the winds obeyed him. You know why? He was a son of God. That's what we were created to be. He could command the animals. He said to the fish, swim into the net. When they cast the net, they couldn't even bring it in. Another time he said to that fish, go find a coin and go give it to Peter to pay my taxes. He had dominion over the animals. He could fly. Jesus could fly. Did you know that? The Bible said on the last day he ascended. That was the first time they had seen him use that superpower. The Avengers, the X-Men, Thor have nothing on a son of God. Storm has nothing on a son of God. I am telling you, you were created to be the child of a king. You were created to be the very image of God. You were created to have dominion on this planet. You were created to rule. If you're not excited, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said Thor, Iron Man, and all the other X-Men, whatever they are, have nothing on what Adam was like. He was the original. He was the first. He was the Son of God. See, Hebrews chapter 2 verse says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him. But then there comes that last few words. But now we don't see it. Where is this? Where is this greatness? Where is this power? Where is this dominion? I'm going to come back to that. You see, we were created to be kings and priests. Kings and priests. This is Black History Month, and you know there's this movie coming out called Black Panther. And it's supposed to tell of some kingdom. But you know, we have a kingdom that goes beyond somewhere in Africa or wherever you came from, or Scotland, wherever your heritage was. You know, people look up their heritage to see if they have a rich aunt or some distant relative that's got a fortune just waiting for them. I want to tell you, you have an inheritance that is priceless, that no one can number, that is from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You were created to rule. The Bible says in Revelation that we were created to be kings and priests. That's who you were. And then, of course, Adam and Eve messed up. That always seems to happen. Things are just going so good, and then something messes it up. Amen. I want to talk about the second thing, who he was. Now, when I say who he was, you probably think I'm talking about somebody else. But you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Satan. You see, right now, the image that's portrayed of Satan is this big, bad dude with horns and a tail and a pitchfork who's got all this power. But let me really tell you who he was. In Ezekiel 28:13, it says, speaking about this character, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Yes, he was in the garden. He had some bling. Every precious stone was thy covering. He was really jazzed up, okay? The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. Yeah, he looked pretty cool, I don't know what the right word is. I'm so out of date. I went somewhere once, and the guy told me I got a crispy haircut. Well, Satan had a crispy haircut. I don't know what he meant by that. You know, I'm old. All right. Well, this dude was sharp. But here's what I want you to understand who he really was. He was dressed up because of where he was. He was in God's garden, this most beautiful place. And what he was the butler. He was the houseman. He had to dress the part because he was in God's garden, this most beautiful place. He was the bodyguard, the house servant, the butler. I'm trying to tell you who he was and what he came from. See, this Eden was such a beautiful place that God allowed the servant to dress pretty well. After all, his job was to look after the child of a king. He was to look after Adam and Eve. Hebrews 1:13 backs me up on this. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool'?" You know who he said that to? Jesus, the Son of God. That could have been Adam, the Son of God. Are they not all? Now, speaking about all of these angels, he said, are they not all ministering? That means they're servants. They were the butlers. They were the house people. Are they not all ministering spirits? That word to minister means to serve, to look after. Sent forth to look after the heirs of salvation. You know who the heirs of salvation is? The children of the King. That's who we were, the children of the King. He was there as the houseman, the butler, and he was dressed to the nines. You ever been to a very rich house? When the butler answers, he's dressed up all right. But guess what? He's only the butler. That's not who you came to see. He opens the door for you. He takes your coat. He will ask you if you'd like a drink. But he's just the butler. That's all he was, Lucifer. Galatians 4:1 explains this again. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant." See, he knew that when Adam and Eve was created, they were children, even though they were the heirs. So he thought himself equal. You know what? I'm going to pull one over on these children. Although they're the children of the King, they don't really realize it. They don't understand their heritage. They don't even know their true power. They don't know what their heritage is. They don't know who really gave them authority. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant. You know, when William had a son and a daughter, they had little butlers and nursemaids and nannies looking after them, because that child is third or fourth in line to the crown. And so he has to be looked after and has a bodyguard. That's all Satan was. He's not this big bad dude that has a pitchfork that wants to take your life, because he is a deceiver and a liar. Amen. Amen. That's what he was. It says in Galatians, the heir, you know who's the heir? That's you and me. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance that is yet to come. You know, it doesn't matter if you didn't get the Powerball. That's going to be nothing. That's going to be nothing. It doesn't matter if you missed out on investing in the Bitcoin or the other foolishness. That's going to be nothing. You need to invest where moth nor rust can decay, because that is an internal inheritance. That is something that is never going to change, because we have an inheritance. Jesus said, I'm going to give you eternal life. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, we were the heirs. The scripture ends up, although he is the child is nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But then it goes on to say, until we're coming up to the appointed time. It says, until the time appointed by the Father. There's one day when we get to collect our inheritance. There's one day when the time of our maturity happens and we get to collect our inheritance. In Revelation, they saw the redeemed, and they said, thou hast made us kings and priests. Amen. Kings and priests. I've been through some palaces. I got to go through Hampton Court, the famous palace of Henry VIII. I've been through some rich people's places, but they got nothing on what Jesus has got prepared for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, if he only took 7 days to create this earth and he's been gone 2,000, can you imagine what he's got prepared for you? Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? John tried to describe it and he couldn't. He couldn't use words that made any sense. He said he saw streets of gold like clear crystal. What kind of thing is that? Amen. But we know that it's going to be beyond our human comprehension. You know why? Because you're a child of the King. You were destined for greatness. You were designed for an inheritance that is beyond any angel, any servant, any butler. Amen. Now, what he tried to do, this butler, was to steal your birthright. He tried to come and to take away your inheritance. You know, there was a movie, I think it was about, 25 years ago now. It's quite a famous movie. It's called The Princess Bride. It's kind of funny. And in the story, this swordsman, this man, came and killed this little boy's father when he was about 10 or 11. And he tried to fight the swordsman, this grown-up man, even though he was 10 or 11. And of course, he just mocked him and made fun of him and left him with two scars. That's what Satan has been doing. He understood that when Adam and Eve were born, although they were destined to rule and reign, they were still children. And he tried to mock them. That's what he's doing for you. He's trying to let you understand that you're not there yet. You're still a child. You don't have your inheritance yet. But you know what happened? He didn't stay a child. In the movie, he didn't stay a child. He grew up and he studied and he practiced and he was coming after that six-fingered man. I'm telling you that if you want to fight Satan, you just have to study and practice the word of God and take the sword of the Spirit. Just like that little man. Now, I told you who you were. I told you what he was. Now I want to tell you what you can become. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. You see, that little baby, my grandchild, doesn't understand wrong or right. She does not have the knowledge of good and evil. You see, we weren't ready to handle that truth. All we could do is fail. All we could do is struggle against the butler. And he gave us some scars. But there is coming a time when if you will take that spirit of truth, the Bible says he will give you all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. You see, Satan thought we were always going to stay disinherited, never get to the stage where we will inherit. But I want to give you a scripture, Ephesians 4:14. It says that we henceforth be no more like children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, it's really Satan. But you know what? That scripture says we don't have to be like children anymore. Once we get that spirit of truth, amen, we can face him down because you are a child of the King. Let me tell you what we are going to be. In John 1:12, and we've been talking about the work of the Spirit. It said, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to get back to what we were supposed to be. To get back to full sonship. To get back to unity. To get back to being the image of the one who created us. See, Satan left us disfigured and scarred and not able to get into full sonship. But once we receive that spirit, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm wrapping this up. I know I'm short, but this thought came to me last week, actually, during the Midwinter Conference. Every time I go there, the Lord shows me something. And it was a particular scripture that came to me. And I'm going to give it to you in two places. It's given twice in scripture. When you see that, ear should pick up. John chapter 15, verse 20. John chapter 15, verse 20. Now, I'm going to give you the second time Jesus said it. And you know it's the second time because he says, remember. Remember the word that I said unto you. And this is what came to me. The servant is not greater than his Lord. The servant is, in other words, is not greater than the master. Now, Jesus, this was the second time Jesus had told them this. And in this application, he was using it to explain persecution. That since he had been persecuted, they would be persecuted. But it was the second time he had used it. So what this told me when I was meditating upon this, let's go to the first time he had used it in John chapter 13, verse 16. That this was a common saying. It was a saying that was said in that time. Jesus used it the second time to apply to persecution. Look at John 13, 16. He says it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. You know what came to me? And now bear with me as I take this a little bit out of context. The servant, who was the servant? Satan. He is not greater than you because you were his Lord. You were his master. Now, I know that's going to take a while to sink in, but I'm trying to tell you something here. Jesus said, the servant, whatever Satan is telling you, you are greater than him. You are his master. You are supposed to be able to tell him, get thee hence. Just as Jesus said to the storm, peace be still. When we have that supernatural power, we can tell Satan too, get thee hence. The Son of God did that. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God and him only. And from now on, Satan, you get hence. Beat it. We need to get that authority that we will be able to tell Satan, get thee hence. If you could stand with me, I want to give you one last scripture. To prove to you that the servant is not greater than the master. Genesis 4:7. Before Cain finally did his deed, he was warned that he could have been the master of the situation. God told him, if thou doest well, then shalt not thou be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at thy door, and unto thee shall be his desire. That's sin, that's Satan. He's always wanting to come and get you. But here's what God says, and thou shall rule over him. Let's take that foot and stomp Satan down one more time. It said, you shall tread upon the adder and the lion, amen, because we have been given dominion. You are a child of the king. And when Satan comes, you tell him, the servant, that's who you are, Satan. You are nothing but the butler. You're nothing but the houseman. You're nothing but the door opener. And I'm going to tread on you, and I can give you command, and you get thee hence. The servant, that's who he was, is not greater than the master. Jesus told Cain, God told Cain, listen, sin wants to get you, but you know what you have to do? You shall have dominion over it. The very first scripture I read to you, sin shall not have dominion over you, because the servant is not greater than the master. And that's all he was, the servant. It makes you think of Satan a little bit differently. You meditate on that. The next time the devil wants to get you, you're just the servant. I know who you are. Yes, you got some bling. Yes, you're dressed up. Yes, you got a crispy haircut. But you aren't nothing but the butler. I was created in his image. I was made in his likeness. I am going to reign and rule over you, Satan. Because the servant is not greater than the master. We don't see it yet. In Hebrews, it says we don't see it yet, but it's coming. He hath put all things under his feet, under his feet, under his feet, because the servant is not greater than the master. Don't let Satan con you. He's dressed up, but he don't own the house. He came to the door to open it. And he's got all the bling, he's got all the diamonds, but all he is the houseboy. All he is the servant. He was there to look after till he rebelled, and he got kicked out. But he's still going around with the bling, conning people that he is something. See, that little boy grew up, and he says, I'm going to find that six-fingered guy. I'm going to get him back. You see, the Bible says don't be tossed around by any winds of doctrine. Don't be no longer children. But when you grow up in God's spirit, you can understand, as that movie says, sure enough, you're the master. Some of you get that. He's just a houseboy, fooling people that he owns the house. But he's gotten kicked out. And yes, he's going around like a roaring lion. But even in Genesis, God said, listen to Cain. Listen, you can rule over him. I open these altars. And anytime you start getting fearful, just remember who he is. He was the butler. He was the servant. And he is not greater than the master. Because you have been given dominion. Jesus said, sin shall not have dominion over you. And although we don't see it yet, it's coming. He's about to get evicted from the house and really shown up for what he is. You know, in that old country series they used to have called Branded, they used to rip off all of the things off the guy. That's what's going to happen to Satan. He's going to be shamed. He has been shamed in the spiritual, but it's going to be made plain in the physical. So just tell him, get thee hence, because I am, through Jesus Christ, your master. Amen. Put all things under my foot. All things under his foot. That's what a son of God is able to do. We're closing this service, but don't look at Satan again the same way. He's just the butler. That's all he is. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for your mercy and your grace. Help us to understand our position in your kingdom, that we were made in your image and likeness. Help us to become, through your spirit, oh God, a true son, a true daughter in your kingdom, a son of royalty. Hallelujah.